Hello, I'm Renee Kramer, welcoming you to the FWC podcast, where we are bringing faith to life. To learn more about service times and discipleship classes, please visit our website at fwcbtown.org or visit us on Facebook at fwcbtown. Now grab your Bibles and get ready for today's sermon.
And so this morning, we just want to honor you and share with you what God's doing, but I pray that a love for the lost would stir in your spirit. Because you see, the Holy Spirit touches us so that we can go out. And what a tragedy it would be if we kept it to ourselves when people right down the road need to hear. And this is a week where the Holy Spirit is brewing and moving and hovering over people's hearts and their homes. And he's calling people. So I just want to honor you. I'm going to throw up a PowerPoint for a minute, but I just want to honor this church. I want to honor Apostle Freddie and Becky and also Jeremy, Pastor Jeremy and Tiffany. This church has been our longest standing supporters. We served here in 2004, and then we went in faith in 2008 to the Philippines. Your prayer warriors have prayed for us for, almost 20 years. They have gotten us miracles on the field where the Lord has opened up incredible doors, and I am just so, so thankful for this body. More than many, many other bodies, you are a family and you're a home, and we just honor you. And I just want to say that the 20 years you have seeded into those pork chops, my goodness, the fruit when you get to heaven will be overflowing beyond what you could ever imagine. Because the seeds that you have planted cannot be counted. And there are oaks and there are apple trees that are falling in nations all over the world because you have cooked those pork chops and you have stayed committed for this many years. So God bless you. You have an incredible mission-centered church that we talk about and that we encourage others to walk in the same way that your pastors have walked for many years. So just God bless you. I'm going to show PowerPoint. Yes? All right. Okay, you can see this is our family. They're sitting on the front row. This is my husband, Kent. My name is Paige, and we have Chloe, Levi, and Caleb. Chloe and Levi were born in the Philippines. Like we said, in 2008, we had no monthly support. The Lord just spoke to us while we were in this church, and he said, will you go? And we thought, honestly, it was going to be 6 months, and it turned into 10 years. And then after 10 years, the Lord began to speak to our hearts, and he started knocking, and he said, will you leave the Philippines? Will you leave this family? And you guys, we were experiencing all kinds of things, miracles, and the Lord was healing and multiplying food, and man, it was such a sweet time, and we love those people. But he started knocking, and he said, what about those that have never heard? What about those that have never had a chance? And we started praying, and Indonesia, you may not have a clue where that is. It's in Southeast Asia. It's very similar culturally to the Philippines. So we're going to tell you a little bit about Indonesia before I just share what God's been doing. But Indonesia is made up of 17,000 islands, if you can believe that. Crazy, huh? Not all of them are inhabited, but there are millions, 270 million people live there, almost as large as America. It's the fourth largest population in the world, and what breaks our heart is that it's the largest Muslim-majority country. So 87%, 8 out of 10 people that walk down the street are Muslim, and then we also have Hindus and Buddhists. There are Christians, but it is a very, very small majority. Okay, there are 584 languages. Crazy. We have not learned those, just one. We're still working on it. But we can converse and we can share the gospel, and God's been so, so faithful to us. And I know it's because this church has prayed for us for many years. But God's been good. I want to tell you something that's really important. You see on the bottom, I hope you can see over 202 million people with no chance to hear. This breaks my heart. There are 202 million people that are within what we call unreached people groups. Basically, what this means is that these are ethnic groups that there is not enough access to the gospel where they would ever meet a Christian or could attend a church. So city is as large as even Louisville, you know, 1 million, there may be 150 believers. Now, if you're living in a city of 100 with 100 believers and there are 1 million of you, the chances are of ever hearing the gospel are almost nothing. And there are no churches. They're hiding out. 202 million people in Indonesia are in that state. And as we celebrate Easter, we celebrate prophetically for those people. As you seed into the kingdom of God, as you make your monthly missions pledges, you're seeding into their salvation. Because this is not just 200 million people. These are moms and dads. These are children. These are people with purpose that the Lord died for. And Jesus deserves the reward that he died for. He earned that by his blood. And he shed that for every man, woman, and child on the earth. And so we thank you for your commitment. You can flip the slide. We just love this verse because the Lord's called us to those that have never heard. In Romans 10:14, it says, how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without a preacher? And how will they preach unless they're sent? And we honor you because you are the senders. As you give your $50 a month, you're sending us, literally, we're going to show you pictures, people that have never even heard the name of Jesus that are in our home. And we're sharing the gospel, and the scales are falling off, and they're like, who? God is so faithful, and he's so good. We studied the language, and then the Lord sent us to this really big city of 30 million people, Jakarta, Indonesia, in January of 2020. And do you know what happened? Oh, exciting. February of 2020, we had the fun COVID. And all the schools closed, and all the churches closed, and we didn't know what to do. And Jesus said, I have a church for you, and I have a people for you. We had no idea, but there were 14,000 refugees in our city. They were living in pop-up tents and abandoned buildings. They were from places like Iran, Afghanistan, Sudan, Pakistan. Mostly Muslim, never, ever heard the gospel. Came from very unreached people groups. And we just began to love them. You can see this man here. He's from Afghanistan. They were living in this abandoned building, and there were, like, numbers of people with COVID in it. They had no protection whatsoever. We just started bringing them masks and food and loving them. And this is real joy right here because we've got hand sanitizer in there. And at that time, we gave that to this man, which you provide by your monthly support. And he was literally jumping up and down because he was so paralyzed living in that building with 300 refugees in total fear. Because, you know, at that time in Asia, things were stirring and people were dying. There was not enough oxygen. But as we show the love of Jesus, you know, the Bible says the kindness of God brings them to repentance. And that's what you're doing. You're showing the kindness of God as you give. These ladies never heard the gospel. They're in our living room. We're sharing the gospel with them for the very, very first time. They're from Afghanistan. They fled. They fled persecution. They fled shooting. They fled war. And you see, we're establishing a legacy in their families. Their families will no longer worship Allah. They will worship the God of Jesus, and for generations, Jesus will reign in these families and in these lives. And you're a part of that. And we thank you and honor you. Next slide. As we're doing this, they were always asking us, why do you do this? Because you see, they don't know a God that's near. They know a God that's far and that's angry. We're doing it because Jesus loves you, because Jesus died for you, because he's a real God. This lady here, when she was 13, she was married off in Afghanistan. When she was 14, she became pregnant and had a child. Then over a course of events and abuse, she fled when she was 18 with her child, and she ended up on the other side of the world in Indonesia. And these are the people that you're seeding into. The Holy Spirit and the love of God chased her all the way across the world so that she could hear the gospel. Isn't this awesome that you can be a part of this? These are some ladies. I just want to talk to you about fruit. You know, the fruit of God in your life is so important. As you spend time with Jesus and you overflow his love and his joy and you don't even know it. And the fruit is not meant for the church. The fruit is meant for the lost. because they see that fruit and they notice a difference. And I was sitting with those ladies, just loving them. I took them out to eat. We just build relationships. We just care for them. We share the gospel eventually. And two of them messaged me just after a meal, and they said, I've never experienced that kind of joy. I'd like to ask you for some Christian worship music. Now, all of these, except the interpreter that's sitting next to me, are Muslim. But they're asking for worship music. You guys, no glory to me, but it's the fruit of God. It's the joy of the Lord. It's the Holy Spirit in action in the community that transforms lives. Next slide, you're going to see. So we ministered to these refugees for 2 years, and God was so faithful. Hundreds of them were seeing and hearing the gospel for the very first time, getting rooted, being loved. And then the Lord did something a little different. He started speaking to us. We were praying, and there were some people that were walking out in our community. They're very dark. They're from a very primitive island called Papua, Indonesia, okay? And as we're praying and as we're walking, something happened to us. Our hearts just started breaking for them. We would look at them, and we would weep. And the love of God was rising up, and I was like, no! No, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to a primitive island. I don't want to take my kids to a primitive island. But the Holy Spirit was moving, and we had no idea what he was about to do, y'all. But he worked miracles. Your intercessors prayed for us, and he got us on a plane miraculously. And we ended up in this very primitive island, and we met these pastors. And this pastor was a superintendent, incredible man of God. And there are all kinds of orphans in that community, all kinds. Some of them AIDS orphans. Some of them are being trafficked. And he found out that over 14,000 children had been taken by Islamic dorms to another island. These Islamic dorms and these leaders are coming in and saying, your kids need education. Your kids need a future. Let them come with us. We'll take them to another island. We'll keep them until they're 18. And you know that's not all that's happening. 14,000 have left that island, and many of them are girls, and you know what that means. I don't even have to explain it. In Islam, they are property. The boys are being trained to be leaders in Islam. This pastor said, I've had enough, and do you know what he did? They have no money. He took 25 orphans into his Sunday school rooms, and that church adopted them just like Jesus adopted us. He loved them, and he still loves them. They're there in Sunday school rooms right now. We met this pastor, and we said, we cannot have this. We have to stand and partner with you. We were able to give them mattresses here. We were able to buy them a van. This is all from your support, guys. It's incredible. Here are some of the rooms. They're just sitting on the floor, but the Lord wants to do more, and that pastor has a dream. He wants 100 kids because he wants to establish a legacy in their community. He wants to change the community through 100 orphans. And you see, it won't just be 100 because they will graduate out and more will come and more will come. He is going to change that community with 100 orphans. And so we are partnering with him right now. And we are raising $50,000 so that we can be a great seed. We're going to build a permanent orphanage for them. And what we love about this is that this is not just a Christian orphanage. This is rooted in their church. That local church is taking in these orphans and is going to love them until they're strong and rooted and full of the presence of God and the power of God. And then those orphans are going to go out and change their communities and change Indonesia. Next slide you're going to see. This girl, her name is Nariyami. When that pastor first had a burden for these orphans, he went and picked her up. Her parents had both died of AIDS. Her sister also had AIDS and eventually died. She was 10 years old, and she was floating between homes in the community. But God had a plan for her, and he wanted to rescue her. And this pastor found her and said, you can come with me. And so he loved her. He taught her the word of God from 10, and then she's just turned 19. And now he's providing college for her. She's on another island. She's studying to be a teacher, and she's going to come back into that community, and she's going to change lives. And this is what this is about. The kingdom of God exploding all over the globe because we send and we go, because we give and we seed. Next slide, you're going to see. Hopefully it'll come up. Okay. The Lord opened up some other opportunities for us as well. There are a whole lot of pastors in Indonesia that are persecuted very severely. They have churches right in Muslim neighborhoods. They try to throw rocks. They try to break in. They break windows. They talk trash about the Christians. But God is so faithful, and they are such faithful warriors. And so we began a partnership with some pastors. We just go into the community, give them food, and love them. And you see that whole Muslim community is coming to a Christian church, an Assembly of God church. And they're receiving hope. And here's what happens, you guys. The Muslim leaders come, and they watch. And the community leaders watch. And they see hope. And then they start having conversations with the pastors. And then the light and the peace of Jesus comes. And God, one by one, starts to transform. And then this church at Christmas time says, we're going to love our Muslim neighbors. And they go out and shower gifts. They're not giving it to the kids in the church. They're giving it to the Muslims. They save money. They don't even have that much. They save money and are giving gifts to the Muslims because they believe that the Holy Spirit can change a community, and he does. With the gospel, he changes Muslims. Next slide. I'm almost done here. We're so excited. I know that this church has planted churches all over the world. You guys have planted churches. And we're super excited. When we went to this primitive island, we met a whole bunch of pastors that are literally you all in the ends of the earth right there. Like, you can't even get to these places without riding a missionary plane. They are in the middle of the jungle. And there are pastors that have gone to seminary for 4 years and have gone back to communities of 1,000 in the middle of a jungle just to be a gospel presence that's not there, to completely unreached places. So we are now raising also, we are hoping to build 7 churches. God has provided more than half of the funds right now. And we're so excited. There are going to be 7 buildings in the ends of the earth because of your love, because of your investment. Next. Okay, I just have to tell you a story. I'm almost done. All right. This is our friend B. I can't tell you his real name because he's from a very sensitive nation. Several years ago, he was in this nation and he had a severe addiction. He was involved in a drug altercation at that time, and there was a stabbing, and the drug dealer stabbed him and then fled. And he fell to the ground and he laid there all night. But something incredible happened. Because you see, in those nations, he can't go looking for Jesus. But Jesus went looking for him. And this man in white came to him, and he had his hand, and he stuck his hand to his heart, and he pulled out his heart. And then he put another heart that our friend B says was more flesh, softer, in. And then he went. And so our friend B wakes up the next morning, and I he should have bled out, to be honest. But he woke up, and he had absolutely no physical wounds on his body. Zero. Jesus had completely transformed his body. But an even greater miracle happened, and this is the greatest miracle of all time. His soul had been restored. He woke up an on fire believer, and he said, who is this man in white? And you guys, he asked people for 2 months. Secretly, he went around asking, who could this man in white be? There are millions of people that are seeing the man in white all over the world. And as he asked, he found a Christian, and the Christian shared with him the gospel, and he became a believer. And what I love about this, and this is our call, he's multiplying himself. He fled this country, ended up in Indonesia, is now a refugee himself. He has a wife. He now has a baby. But he is so on fire for God. His testimony cannot be refuted. He preaches to everybody, and over 120 Muslims have come to the Lord just by him. And he's sharing with all kinds of people. The reason I share this is because, you see, when you seed into missions, you're not just seeding into our family. You're not just seeding into the missionaries. You're seeding into leaders and men of God and women of God that we seed into. We financially support him. We train him. We mentor him. We love him, and we are a part of his team. And when you get to heaven, man, the reward. Can you believe it? Even just to see 120 believers from him that you're seeding into. What a day of rejoicing that's going to be. So this is serious business. We don't just live for ourselves. We live for the kingdom of God and for the reward in heaven. And when you give up that coffee and you put, you know, your $10 in, man, the reward that's coming, right? Bless you guys. We're so excited. This last slide, we just want to tell you the Lord's opening up awesome doors for us, and we're going to begin to start a community center. It's going to reach Muslims. We're going to have English there. We're going to also partner with the Assemblies of God churches to continue to pour into them and build up the pastors and love people and love Muslims. God bless you. Thank you for your love and all that you have done for us for many, many years.
Right, praise God. You know, I just always, every time I see you guys doing pork chop sales on Facebook, I just always laugh because you're selling pork chops to reach Muslims. I mean, how cool is that, you know? I mean, praise God for the pork chops. When we get to heaven, we're standing, you know, you may have been Muslim in your previous life, but these pork chop sales is the reason you are now in heaven, because of the good old pigs that gave up their life for you. Man, praise God. So glad that you guys are doing that. So thankful that you guys are partnering with us. I was thinking it's been 15 years you guys have been partnering with us now, and so it's just June will be 15 years. And so just so grateful for you guys partnering with us, longest supporting church, longest praying church that has been on our team, and so grateful for that. If you have your Bibles, I want to share with you for just a couple hours. All right, it's a jolly crew this morning. That's good. Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. You probably are very familiar with this story. It's a story right before Jesus' triumphal entry, as a matter of fact. This happens right about a week before, maybe a couple, two or three weeks before he enters into Jerusalem. But it's found in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 through 52. Let's read this together. How about we stand this morning? You guys look like you need to stand. Seventh inning stretch, right? All right, we're going to stretch a little bit. Verses 46 through 52, it says, "Then they came to Jericho, and as Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man by the name of Bartimaeus was sitting by the roadside begging. And when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, 'Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me.' Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called to the blind man, 'Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you.' Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 'What do you want me to do for you?' Jesus asked him, and the blind man said, 'Rabbi, I want to see.' Verse 52, 'Go,' said Jesus, 'your faith has healed you.' And immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road." Father, we thank you for this word. We thank you for this miracle that we see in the scriptures, God. Lord, I pray in the next few moments, your spirit would commune with our spirit, God. Lord, that all distractions, all worries about yesterday, all the thoughts for tomorrow, God, would just cease to exist. And just for the next 15 to 20 minutes, God, that you would just speak to our spirits, God. So when we leave this place today, we will say to one another, surely the presence of the Lord was among us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated if you can. Verse 46 says there was a large crowd. Everybody say large crowd. And I've been in some places in Indonesia and the Philippines where I've seen large crowds, wet markets, basically modern what you would call Kroger, places where there'd be thousands of people shopping in the wet markets and so forth, buying their vegetables, and just masses of people. And that's kind of the backdrop to this story here. Bartimaeus is sitting here, and there's this large crowd that's leaving the city, and there's, you know, Bartimaeus is sitting there, he's begging, he's asking for, you know, assistance and so forth, and he sees Jesus coming, and he begins to shout out, "Jesus, the Son of David, have mercy on me." And I've often thought, you know, I wonder what chance Bartimaeus thought he really had of getting the attention of Jesus. Thousands of people, it's dusty, it's probably hot. Would he be heard this time? And maybe you've been in a position like that before in your life where it's been times when you've shouted out to Jesus, and you're like, Jesus, do you hear me? Jesus, do you see my situation? Jesus, do you know what's going on? You know, maybe there's, you thought, you know, there's 7 billion people on the face of the planet. Could Jesus possibly hear my prayer? And the answer is always yes. He hears you. He sees you right here, right now. When you just blinked your eyes, he saw that. He sees everything. Nothing escapes his attention. And on this day, for Bartimaeus, Jesus stopped for him. Now, verse 47 says, when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, it says he began to shout, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And I love that. I just love this, the faith of Bartimaeus. It says he began to shout. I think he must have been Pentecostal. Now, I don't know if you've ever had to shout to get someone's attention. The boys and I were in Target the other day, and we were walking through the parking lot, and there was this older couple that was walking behind this car. And I could see this car was backing out and getting ready to run over them, you know. And I was just like, we were just shouting, you know. I was from a distance, like from here to the door there. And, you know, stop, stop, stop. And finally, we just kept running and just banging on the back of the window to get the people to stop so they wouldn't run over the couple there. But it says he shouted. It says he began to shout. This was a prayer of desperation. This was a time for him to receive his healing. And it's interesting, it says he continued to shout, Jesus, Son of David. Jesus, Son of David. Now I wonder, why did he say Jesus, Son of David? Why not just save yourself some oxygen and just say Jesus? Why continue to shout the name Jesus, Son of David? In that day and age, Jesus was a very common name. Similar to Jeremy. Becky. Helen. Kent. Paige, a very common name. Many people would have had the name Jesus, but only one person could have the name Jesus, Son of David. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, you know this, it was prophesied that the Messiah would come from the line of David. If I'm writing the New Testament, the very first verse, I'm not gonna write a genealogy, and that sounds kind of boring, right? But in Matthew 1, chapter 1, it begins with a genealogy, interestingly enough. It says, this is the genealogy of Jesus, the Messiah, the Son of David. In Matthew chapter 12, you don't have to go there. Then in Matthew chapter 12, Jesus heals this man who is blind, mute, and demon-possessed. Man, you think your life is going bad. I mean, what if you're blind, mute, and demon-possessed? So Jesus heals this man, and you know what? They're not in awe that the man is healed. You know what they say to one another? Could this be the Son of David? Could this be the Son of David? That was what they continued to say. And so many people thought Jesus was a good teacher, a great person, a faith healer, but not many people recognized who he truly was. Not many people recognized that he was the Son of God. And so the whole crowd would have heard Bartimaeus' confession of faith. The whole crowd would have heard him shouting out, Jesus, Son of David. And though the eyes of Bartimaeus were blind, the eyes of his soul could see very clear. He knew to whom he was interacting with. And my prayer for you and I today is that we would recognize Jesus for all that he is. There is such a thing as Southern Christianity, where you just kind of grow up going to church, and Jesus is all you've ever known. And that's not necessarily a bad thing, but sometimes Jesus is not real to us who've always just heard it over and over and over again. My question for you is, do you really know who Jesus is? Are you more than just a cultural Christian? See, Muslims believe in Jesus. Demons in hell believe in Jesus. They have a better theology and understanding of Jesus than you and I, but they're not followers of Jesus. And so my prayer for you is that if you're just coming to church on a Sunday in, Sunday out, because this is just your thing, I pray that like Bartimaeus, you would have the same insight that he had and would recognize Jesus, the Son of David. Now, verse 48 is interesting. It says, many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, Son of David, have mercy on me. You know, you and I live in a culture where Christians are told to be quiet all the time. We don't want your opinion. We don't want your truth. And unfortunately, it's probably only going to get worse. We don't want you on our school boards. We definitely, because, I mean, the only thing that is holding back the onslaught of the enemy upon our nation is the Christians that are still left. That's the only thing. So when the crowd rebukes you because of your stand for faith, be like Bartimaeus. It's okay to shout all the more. Shout all the more. It says many rebuked him, told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more. This is not a season to be quiet. Now, maybe no one has ever rebuked you because of your faith. Maybe you've not had that kind of public interaction before. But I bet the enemy's whispered in your heart and your soul many times to just give up. Maybe you've been praying the same prayer, and you've been praying for that son or daughter or granddaughter to be saved, and it just hasn't happened, and the enemy has maybe just told you, like this crowd, just be quiet. God's heard your prayers. You don't need to continue on. He knows what's going on. Just settle down. Maybe the enemy's whispered that into your ears. Stop believing for the salvation of your loved one. Stop believing for the restoration of a broken marriage or a broken friendship or a broken family. Just stop believing for that. But when the people told him to be quiet, the scripture says he shouted all the more. Which basically what that means is he got louder and louder and louder and louder. Now, I don't think we have to shout to get God's attention. He's not deaf. But I do believe we need to be persistent. Sometimes our prayers are just kind of like, you know, cupcake prayers, you know, or kind of, you know, a frosting type prayer. It's like, well, God, you know, I'd like for this to happen, you know, just let your will be done, just, you know, and then kind of mosey on. No, this was a prayer of desperation. This was a prayer of desperation. It says he got louder and louder and louder. Bartimaeus was determined. He was focused. He was persistent. He was not going to let the crowds deter or distract him from seeking Jesus, the Son of David. And I got a question for you. What if Bartimaeus had listened to the crowd? What if when the crowd said, hey, Bartimaeus, be quiet, leave Jesus alone. What if he had listened to the crowd? What would have happened? Well, I don't believe this story would have ever made it on the pages of our Bible. This miracle would have just passed him on by. We would never even know the name Bartimaeus. But because he was persistent and would not give up, we read in verse 49, Jesus stopped. Jesus stopped and said, call him. Now, Jesus, I got a question for you. Why did Jesus stop for Bartimaeus? Why did he stop for Bartimaeus? Bartimaeus was not the only sick or needy person that Jesus passed by that day. I can assure you of that. He would have passed by hundreds of sick and needy people that needed a touch. Why did he stop for Bartimaeus? Well, I think he stopped because of Bartimaeus' faith. Bartimaeus recognized that Jesus was God. That he was more than just a rabbi or a good teacher. That he was God in the flesh, the Son of David. And 2,000 years later, Jesus is still stopping for those who call on his name. In the midst of this crazy world, I mean, is this not a crazy world? Did you ever dream you would see this world that we're living in right now? And yet Jesus has not changed one single bit. He's still stopping for those Muslims that we're reaching out to. He's still stopping for you when we call on his name. Now, I love this transaction in the story. Call him, said Jesus. Call him. Call him. I love this transaction because in the beginning, Bartimaeus is calling upon Jesus. And now Jesus is calling upon Bartimaeus. So in verse 49, the crowd said to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you. Now, isn't this interesting? Verse 48, the people were telling him to be quiet. And now they're telling him to cheer up. Well, can we not be fickle? As we say in Bahasa Indonesia, plin plan means to be fickle. One minute they're against you, they're just kicking you down. The next they're telling you, cheer up. It's going to be all right. We were trying to raise our budget for the very first time, gosh, back in just seems like after the war ended, but 2008, whatever that was, or 2006, 2007, and we had some well-meaning people. Nobody here, praise God, nobody here. But some well-meaning, well, you know, you may not get to raise your budget. It may not work out. You may not get to go to the field, you know. And then when we raised our budget, those very same people, I knew God was going to be there for you. I knew it was all going to work out. I knew everything was going to happen. Maybe they told Pastor Freddie, you'll never be able to plant a Pentecostal church in Bardstown, Kentucky. And here we are. 40 years, 30 years later, something like that, I don't know. The church is still going strong, still reaching people. People are still coming to know Jesus. Don't listen to the naysayers in your life. When you're seeking Jesus for something, you seek it with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Seek it with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Don't give up. Don't let your faith and walk with Jesus be determined by the opinions or attitudes of others. Now, I'm not telling you not to seek wise counsel. That's not what I'm saying. But just don't let your faith be determined by the opinions of others. Some of you were told your salvation will never last, and here you are still serving Jesus. Some of you were told, you know, you better give up on that divine healing, and here you are healed today. Call him. It's interesting. Bartimaeus is blind, right? We've established that. He was blind, and yet Jesus calls him to come forward. And I'm thinking, Jesus, he's blind. You should go to him. But I think Mark wants us to learn something. In spite of his pain, Bartimaeus still had to come forward. And you and I are no different. I've often said if salvation was 100 steps, Jesus would take 99 of them, but he leaves that last one for you and I. And so here, if you're here this morning, obviously you are here, but those of you that are here this morning, if you're seeking Jesus about, or you're thinking, Jesus, don't you see my need? Don't you know? And yet you feel the Spirit calling you forward, and yet you hold on. Listen, just release and come forward to Jesus as you are, blind, dirty, unrepentant, whatever you are. Just come to Jesus when he calls you forward. And then verse 50. I've often thought, you know, Mark, why did we need to know this? Why did you throw, of all the things the Holy Spirit could have inspired you to write, why did you throw this in? It says he threw his cloak aside. His cloak was, you know, like a big blanket, kind of, you know, like one of those blankets you see on, no, it's not one of those blankets you see on TV, but it was like a cloak that he would have wore to keep him warm at night and things like that. But it was like a blanket. And so he threw his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet, and he came to Jesus. Now, as mentioned, I don't think Mark just threw this in for good measure. Words in Scripture have meaning. It says he threw his cloak aside. His cloak was a hindrance. It slowed him down. It slowed him down. You know, before I came to Jesus, I had a lot of cloaks in my life. The Lord was calling me to follow him, but I had the cloak of wanting to live life my way. Anybody ever had that before? When I first became a Christian back in college, I remember praying the prayer of salvation, but at the very end of the prayer, I used to watch the 700 Club some, you know, when I was in college. I was a weird college student. But, and Pat Robertson would pray this prayer, and he would say, you know, now surrender your, you know, part of the salvation prayer was, you know, I surrender my whole life to you. And I just could not pray that part of the prayer. I wanted salvation. I wanted to go to heaven. Heaven good, hell bad. That was my theology at that point in my life. I knew I wanted to go to heaven. But surrendering my life to Jesus, I was afraid if I totally surrendered, he may, like, call me to be a missionary or something, you know? My question for you is, what cloaks are in your life? Do you have anything you're holding on to that's keeping you from fully following Jesus? That's the point I want to get across. Maybe it's the cloak of fear, doubt, unforgiveness, anger, frustration. Whatever it is, throw it off so that you can come to Jesus. And then the second part of verse 50 says, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. When Jesus speaks, be quick to respond. Jump to your feet. Obey him the first time. Maybe he will tell you this morning, hey, you need to forgive that coworker. You need to make things right with your daughter, your son, your husband, your spouse, whatever. Be quick to respond. Maybe the Lord will tell you to go a different direction with your life. Be quick to respond. Jump to your feet. Because when we're quick to respond, the Lord will reward us. Let's look at verse 51. Jesus said, what do you want me to do for you? What do you want me to do for you? And the blind man said, Rabbi, I want to see. Once again, why did Jesus ask? Why did Jesus ask, what do you want me to do for you? He already knew. He wanted him to ask in faith. See, he's already established, Jesus, you are the Son of David. I know that. Jesus has stopped, but there's one more step. What do you want me to do for you? If Jesus asked you this morning, what do you want me to do for you? How would you respond? Is there a prayer so near and dear to your heart that you can just spit that out in just a second? Jesus, I want you to save my grandchild. Jesus, I need a healing in my body. I hope and pray there's a prayer so near and dear to your heart that when the Holy Spirit touches you in such a way that he's speaking to you, that you can just, it's right there. It's right there. And Bartimaeus' response was, boy, it was simple and to the point. I want to see. I mean, he didn't go into the history of his life, how bad his life had been, or anything like that. He just said, I want to see. I mean, he was very specific. He could have said 100 different things. He said, I want to see. You know, I used to think you had to pray long prayers in order for the Lord to hear you, but you don't, do you? You don't. And then in verse 52, Jesus prays this really long prayer over Bartimaeus. Now, what does he say? Go. Go. I'm thinking, that's it? This blind man's been begging. He's called upon your name, and this is all you're going to give him? Just go? That was all he needed. Go, said Jesus. Your faith has healed you. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. And I'm just dumbfounded when I read this. Jesus said, your faith has healed you. It wasn't the faith of the crowd. Boy, those guys didn't have it. Probably wasn't the faith of the disciples. They were probably ready to get on to the next meeting. It was the faith of Bartimaeus. And I'm thinking, well, Bartimaeus, what faith did he have? What faith did Bartimaeus have? I mean, this guy had never gone to a rabbinical school. He'd probably never learned the Torah. Probably never, been a part of anything like that. He was blind. And back in that day and age, if you were sick or blind, the people believed that maybe there was some kind of curse on your life or, that your parents had done something wrong. We don't believe that today, of course. So this was a guy who would have never studied the Torah, never gone to any rabbinical school. In other words, he had never gone to church. What faith did he have? Very simple faith. He believed Jesus for all that he was. He believed Jesus was the Son of David, the Messiah. And this morning, if you believe in Jesus and you are following Jesus and you believe him for everything that he is, and there's different levels of faith, right? But if you believe him for everything that he is, then you have the same kind of faith that Bartimaeus has. You are in the same category as a Bartimaeus. You believe in Jesus, the Son of David. You know, one of the things that always, as a missionary for the last 15 years, living in third world nations, we see a lot of poverty, see a lot of bad things, and we see a lot of poor people and things. And I've often said, God, why don't you do something about this? Why don't you do something about, all the stuff we've seen from these Afghan believers who come, and just the horror stories. I won't even tell you all the stories, but just the things that these people are dealing with, and all the poverty. And it's like, Lord, why don't you do something about this? And it's always the same response. They've never called upon me. They've never called upon me. They've never called upon my name. You see, Jesus doesn't stop just because we have needs. If he responded to need alone, all the needs of the world would have already been met. What does he respond to? It's faith in him. Jesus, Son of David. It's calling out on his name, not giving up, getting a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. It's like that Bethel song we sing sometimes. I'm just going to praise a little louder and a little louder and a little louder. He just continued to call upon Jesus. And sometimes I'm concerned that oftentimes we pray without really believing the Lord is going to act on our behalf. Sometimes our prayers are not really sincere. It's important that we believe the Lord will act on our behalf and that we walk in that to the degree of faith that the Lord has given us. Go, your faith has healed you. Now, in the beginning of the story, it was blind Bartimaeus, and now they just call him Bartimaeus because when Jesus touches a person, he gives them a whole new identity. You know, when the Lord saved you, he gave you a whole new identity. I saw an old classmate three or four months ago at a Dollar General store, and we were just talking and conversing, and he knew me B.C., right, before Christ. And so he was reminding me of all the things I used to be. You know, he was just like going on and on and on and on. I'm like, thanks. May the Lord bless you with hemorrhoids, you know. But he just was going on and on about all the things I used to be. You ever had anybody in there in your life like that, you know? And the cool thing, I wasn't upset with him or anything. But as I was riding, I was going home, you know, and I was just like, Jesus, I didn't hardly even recognize that old guy. You've given me a whole new identity. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given me a whole new identity. And you have a new identity as well. Many of you were spiritually blind, and now you can see. You were lost, now you are saved. You were depressed, now you have joy. Just don't go back to that old life. Bartimaeus did not go back to that old life of begging. He could see. He was healed. He was saved. And I love the very last verse. Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. He became an active follower of Jesus. And my hope and prayer for you is that you remain an active follower of Jesus. I know post-COVID church attendance across the nation, every church I go to, people that used to go to church are no longer going to church. And I've asked pastors, well, where are they going now? They're not going anywhere. They've stopped following Jesus. I'm not saying you have to come to church to be saved, but I don't know how you're going to remain in your salvation apart from the local body of Christ. You can't. Nobody can. Nobody can. We all need the body of Christ. You need the body of Christ. The body of Christ needs you. What we experienced this morning in worship is coming together. It's joy, the praying, the laying on of hands. My goodness, man, there are countries around the world that would give anything, anything to have the freedom that we have. Don't take advantage of that. Every time you pull in this parking lot on a Sunday morning, it is a vote for religious freedom. Well, there was a large crowd. And you may wonder, can Jesus hear me? Yep, he hears you. He hears you when you call upon his name. Bartimaeus continued to call upon the Lord. He shouted many times. Jesus didn't stop the first time. We don't know how many times he shouted. He just continued to seek Jesus until he found his answer, until Jesus did stop. Continue to seek Jesus. Continue to call upon his name. Maybe you've been praying for something for, maybe you prayed 99 times. This morning we'll make it 100. We'll just continue to seek Jesus. He threw his cloak aside. Any cloaks in your life? Anything that's holding you back? And you know there's cloaks in your life. Was there ever a time when you felt closer to Jesus than you do right now? Is there ever a time in your life when you said, you know, I felt closer to Jesus 3 years ago, more so than I do now, or 5 years ago? There may be some cloaks in your life. There may be some unforgiveness. There may be some things you've allowed to build up in your life that's keeping you from following Jesus with all of your heart, soul, and mind. Number four, when Jesus speaks, be quick to respond. When he spoke to Bartimaeus, I mean, he jumped to his feet. Mark put that scripture in there for us to understand that when Jesus speaks, be quick to respond. It's okay to tell Jesus what you want him to do for you. Bartimaeus didn't say, well, your will be done. He was very specific. He said, I want to see. It's okay to tell Jesus exactly what you want him to do. Let him be Jesus, but it's okay to come to him and speak what's on your heart. And then finally, continue to follow the Lord. This is not the time to sit on the sideline. This is the time to follow Jesus as close as you possibly can. It was an old song, practically a hymnal. It was released in 2000. Called Open the Eyes of My Heart, Lord. You've probably sung that 1,000 times. In this day and age, that's like a hymnal now, you know. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. I want to see you. I want to see you high and lifted up, shining in the light of your glory. Pour out your power and love as we sing, holy, holy, holy. Open the eyes of my heart, Lord. Open the eyes of my heart. And my prayer for you this morning is that God would open up the eyes of your heart, so that you can see him for all that he is in your life. There may be some here, and I just sense the Lord saying there are some here, you just feel dry. It just feels dry in your prayer life, maybe in your Bible reading time. It just feels dry. And I'm just praying, Lord, just open up the eyes of the people's hearts this morning, God, so that they can see you in your glory, to see you for all that you are. Come near to your people, God. As they draw near to you, come near to them, Father. Lord, I just pray if there's any among us this morning, God, who are not following you, who are not actively following you, they just attend church because that's all they just are doing it out of tradition. I pray this morning, God, they would jump to their feet, God, and follow you with all their heart, soul, and mind, Lord. And Lord, I pray there's some here that maybe are seeking a physical healing, and it just hasn't happened yet. Lord, this was a physical healing that you did for Bartimaeus. It was spiritual, but it was physical as well. Lord, you healed. You physically healed, God. And so what I pray this morning, God, I know there is an atmosphere of faith in this church that we don't often experience in other churches, and there are people here that believe in divine healing, God, and they're seeking your face. And I pray this morning, God, that you would just move, God, and that you would touch the hearts of people this morning. I just pray these things in your name, Jesus. I'm going to give you an opportunity. If you want us to pray for you, we'll pray for you this morning. We'll just seek God with you. We won't belabor. We'll just pray. Whatever you're seeking God for, we'll just agree with you in faith. The only thing I ask is that you jump to your feet and be quick. That if you got something you're praying for, Paige and I, prayer team, Pastor Jeremy, Pastor Freddie, whatever, the prayer team, we'll just pray for you. It's not about me or Paige, but we just want to seek God with you. And we won't belabor it, but if you got something you're seeking God for, you need Jesus in your life, you're not following him, my goodness, make this the morning that you become an active follower, not just a cultural Christian, but an active follower of Jesus, calling upon Jesus, the Son of David. You need physical healing, whatever it is, we'll pray for you. We'll pray what a restoration of a relationship. We'll pray for you. But as the praise team, if you guys, as they begin to play, we'll just be, Paige, why don't you just come down and we're just going to pray for you, and we'll just believe God with you for whatever you're praying for, okay? Thank you, guys. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's sermon. If you would like to sow a seed into our ministry, text the word GIVE to 833-613-0523. For more sermons and content like this, please subscribe and like this podcast, and visit our website at fwcbtown.org. Or visit us on Facebook at FWC B-Town. And remember, we are carrying the message of Jesus to reach those that are lost.